WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I met along the way.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
Hey guys, this is Renee Paquette.
This is Kane from WWE.
This is WWE Superstar Drew McIntyre.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Hi, this is Bree. And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
This is Christopher Daniels, and what I like to do on my off day is listen to the rap, and now you are just...
And it is awesome!
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire!
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can love, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host...
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell...
Ow!
What the game is playing!
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to you by our friends over at MBGFilms, YouTube.com/MBG1211. Oh my gosh, guys, I'm so excited for this show because something huge dropped. Anyway, if you're listening to us over on WildTalkRadio.com, RockRadioShow.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen, and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. If you'd also like to follow the channel or hang out and chat or listen to the archive, we are happy to have you any way we can get you. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
We're here. We're live. Football's on television.
With really bad colors, but yes, it's on TV.
It's very blinding. The lime green is, something.
The lime green and the Rams blue do not go together. I'm sorry, they just don't.
Tweet us at WildTalkRadio, at RockRadioShow, at Lindsay Ward. Come to WildTalkRadio.com, RockRadioShow.com, or twitch.tv/WTRLive. Yeah, baseball's on too. It's a thing. All the sports are going to be happening this month. It's the best month of the year.
It is that time of the year where the baseball playoffs are coming, football's going, basketball's going, hockey has started. It's just, yeah, Rock is in heaven right now because all the sports, all the time, and somewhere in between all of those, he has to fit wrestling.
God. Yeah.
Because there's college and pro.
Yeah.
On all of the sports except for wrestling.
Yeah, well, I don't. Who watches college hockey except for Tim?
It's a very important sport in Canada.
I mean, have you ever heard about it? Juniors in Canada? Oh my God, it's the best.
God.
Oh my God, yes. It's the best. I don't think Tim's listening because he just got home. But,
probably not. Hi, Tim! Happy belated birthday! Everybody, it was Tim's birthday over the weekend, so go send him some love.
Yeah.
You don't have to say happy birthday, but just, you know, do something nice, say something nice to him.
Or just say anything at all. I don't care. Just say... What should we have people tweet him?
Not llamas. He yelled at us last time for that.
Ooh, but we could send them llama. You guys can tweet him llama pictures. Anyway, we have a lot to get into tonight. We got news, NXT, and Lindsay's subject that she really wants to talk about. Escape the Undertaker.
It dropped, and I have to wait till the back half of the show to talk about it. Like, I have actually refrained my, like, somewhat from tweeting about it and talking about it because I wanted to talk about it on the show and I wanted to give my impressions on the show. So aside from my stupid little shit post that I put out on my Twitter, at Lins Ward, LinsWard, I have not said anything because I wanted to react for all of you guys live on air so that way you could hear my thoughts and opinions. And there are a lot of thoughts and there are a lot of opinions on this. So, yeah. But I say we don't waste any more time. We get into the news brought to our friends over at mbgfilms.youtube.com/mbg1211. And we have to offer congratulations out because Toni Storm and Juice Robinson are engaged!
Everyone remembers who Juice Robinson was on this show.
Mr. Man Panties.
Yeah, they got engaged last week, earlier this week, something like that. Congrats to both.
Congrats to both. Brent, why did you just tweet us? Oh, very good, Brent. I'm very, very proud of you. You're gonna get banned again. I hope you realize that. Gonna block you again. But yeah, so big, huge congratulations to Toni Storm and Juice Robinson. No date has been announced. One probably will not be announced. They got engaged at, I believe, their house. They're very cute little engagement pictures out there if you want to go check out their socials for that. So, yay! We love love here. WWE has hired Jackie Redmond to take over hosting Talking Smack and Raw Talk, so congratulations to her.
I believe she's going to take the role that I think Scott Stanford was doing for the last few weeks, hosting Talking Smack, Raw Talk in the studio, so I think she's going to be with Matt Camp, who does the bump.
Okay, all right, very cool.
Because they moved it from being in the Thunderdome to the studios, because they're no longer in the Thunderdome now.
Yeah, it's officially out, so it has to go somewhere. Mm-hmm. And so they found a place. Nikki Bella has been asked to be a judge on America's Got Talent Extreme. It's an offshoot of America's Got Talent, so awesome news for her. Hope she has a lot of fun and sees a lot of really good talent.
Yeah, I wonder what extreme means, but, you know, we'll figure it out when America's Got Talent Extreme hits the airwaves at some point. Probably this winter.
Yes, probably this. I don't know when exactly. Like, nothing's been announced, but she just put it out there that, hey, by the way, I am doing America's Got Talent. Ding! And last but certainly not least, for WWE, NXT UK has exciting news. They are returning to taping in front of fans. This is a huge step in the UK. It seems like maybe they're finally starting to come out of COVID a little bit. They have had multiple lockdowns and a lot of other things, so because things have just been really bad. So this is exciting news for them as they can kind of maybe start to finally take steps towards normality.
So they had the fans in attendance, I think, yesterday. They were spread out, like, in single seats.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, so they first got, people there.
Which is pretty exciting. I mean, that's great news. I have no problem with it, so go them. Moving on to AEW. AEW announced the TBS Championship.
Yeah, so they've announced since the men have the TNT Championship, which is now held by Sammy Guevara, the AEW TBS Championship will be the women's title. It'll debut this January when they move to TBS. So it's a second belt. Can't say secondary, can't say mid-card. A second championship for the women to go after.
So basically, Britt Baker could be eternal champion, and then everybody just fights for the TBS title?
Yes.
Got it. God. Also, I'm not sure I'm crazy about the TBS championship, and the one thing that I really don't like about it is the texture that they have on TBS, because they have that same texture behind it, and it like, they have the circle. They have the TBS logo, which is, like, TBS in a circle, and then they have, like, this texture background behind it. And so you have texture, flat texture, and it just, the TBS almost gets a little lost because your eye goes right to the circle. And it just, you see the TBS secondary. So I'm not crazy about it. Like, it's okay.
Yeah.
It mimics the TNT title, but it's just, it's
also okay. The blue doesn't look good.
Yeah, the blue's not a great blue for that.
No, it wasn't a good blue. I don't know why you, I don't know, it took them 5 tries to get the TNT championship right, so who knows?
Well, I mean, part of that was during a pandemic, so.
No, it was not part of the pandemic. It's still, they've gone through many different versions of it since.
I'm trying to throw
No, it no. Like this, no. The new, Sammy has a different version than Darby had, and Miro had his own custom title.
Everybody gets their own title.
Apparently, it feels that way. I don't know, it just seems weird.
It's like the Spitter title. Everybody gets their own. Bobby Fish.
Okay, I guess, maybe.
Maybe?
Maybe.
Bobby Fish is officially All Elite. They announced yesterday that he had signed with the company, so congratulations to him.
He, speaking of the TNT Championship, he lost to Sammy Guevara on television for the title, so there you go.
There you go. And in terms of the news, last but certainly not least, for other, we have exciting news as Women of Wrestling is returning to TV. They have announced a deal with Viacom, and helming the project as the executive producer is one AJ Lee.
Yeah, so she's back in wrestling, not the back in wrestling people thought it was going to be. She's going to executive produce and do commentary for Women of Wrestling, WOW, which will be on CBS affiliates at some point probably next year once they start doing tapings and all that stuff. So they have a syndicated deal with CBS, with Viacom, which is good for them. So they'll be in some markets and see how the product takes off. It's going to be featured talent of Tessa Blanchard. So... there's that. It's very talented.
Hopefully everything goes well there.
Very talented individual. Just hopefully she's learned some lessons in a variety of manners. And I'm not talking about language, other manners as well. So yeah, should be interesting.
It should be interesting. So congratulations to her and them. And hopefully it takes off and it's huge.
More places for people to work.
That's always, especially for women, because women don't necessarily have a lot of places to go. So the fact that you're creating a safe haven for the women, I think, is a really good thing. And you can have people grow and blossom, and then you can have them move into the other promotions or stay with WOW or move around. I'm sure the whole Forbidden Door thing will be wide open for AEW and Tony Khan to come swinging in when they're ready. So yeah. We'll have to see.
We will indeed have to see.
Now we get to talk about the WWE draft, which was this past, really, week-ish. They did a lot of drafts off TV.
Yeah.
Like, basically on Talking Smack and Raw Talk, there was a lot of movement going on. There was some on the main shows, however, more or less happened on the secondary shows, which nobody saw. So everybody was, like, really, really, really... confused when, like, the remaining members of Retribution got split up, because it's like Dijak's out here tweeting about it, and it's like, wait, they got split? When did that happen? And it's like, oh, it happened on Talking Smack.
It did.
That would explain it.
That would explain a lot of things.
So, your official rosters, which will take effect on October 22nd following Crown Jewels, are as followed.
All right, before you begin, well, let's break down one and then break down the other.
Right, I was going to read SmackDown first.
Okay, perfect.
One brain.
Yep, one brain.
So your SmackDown roster will be featuring Aaliyah, Angel Garza, Ashante Adonis, B-Fab, Cesaro, Charlotte Flair, Drew Gulak, Drew McIntyre, Eric of the Viking Raiders, Happy Corbin, Humberto Carrillo, Isaiah Swerve Scott, Ivar, Jeff Hardy, Jey Uso, Jimmy Uso, Jinder Mahal, King Nakamura, Kofi Kingston, Mace, Madcap Moss, Mansoor. That is like a list of names right there. Just those three.
That's just something, yeah.
Just all kind of flows. Mustafa Ali, Naomi, Natalya, Rick Boggs, Ricochet, Ridge Holland, Roman Reigns, Sami Zayn, Sasha Banks, Shanky, Shayna Baszler, Shotzi Blackheart, who's just now called Shotzi, issues, Tony Storm, Top Dollar, Xavier Woods, and Xia Li.
First, just Madcap Moss and Shanky.
There's just some ridiculous names. I'm sorry.
Okay. Biggest surprise on SmackDown, going to SmackDown, Ridge Holland, even though it shouldn't be, it kind of was just based on his role in NXT. You figured he'd be down there developing a little bit more, but From the get-go, you knew he was someone they were looking at before he got hurt as a future talent they wanted up on the main roster. So to me, he's like the biggest surprise move so far.
Yeah, because I don't think anybody was expecting it, but it's like he got fast-tracked.
Completely.
Really, really hardcore fast-tracked because it's like you said, they wanted him up there. I don't think he was ever meant to be down there very long, and just the really unfortunate incident of him breaking his leg.
Yeah.
In his debut match, and just, or not his debut match, but breaking his leg in a match right around the time that he got debuted, and then he was out for like a year.
Yeah.
They didn't want to sit on that. They just were like, okay, all right, we're going to have you down there. We're going to get some momentum with you with Don, and then we're just going to put you on the elevator and send you up. Because he's only been back.
A month, 6 weeks.
6 weeks, yeah, something like that. Like, they hardcore fast-tracked him.
Before they could really waste all their momentum down in NXT, they brought up, why am I blanking on the group? Hit Row. So, which was another interesting surprise.
I was kind of figuring, based on the way that they were telling the story down in NXT, that it was going to be Hit Row, or it was going to be Legado del Fantasma. It's one of them is going to go.
And I think the del Fantasma was the more experienced group out of them, but I think based on their style and presentation, Hit Row stands out better on the main roster right now.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Hit Row is someone that
they can connect with people.
They've gotten a really good reaction from the fans. People are into them. And it's like, we've got something hot here. Let's go ahead and capitalize it, which is, again, something WWE doesn't necessarily do. So the fact that somebody recognized that they have something with Hit Row and they're like, we're just going to go ahead and pull the trigger on them, and we're not going to hold them down in NXT, and we're not going to tell all the stories with them in NXT. Because it is one of the problems that was happening was you had a lot of these great talents and a lot of these great stories, but they all got told in NXT, so by the time you got to the main roster, there wasn't a lot of stuff that you could necessarily do with people when they came up, because you had to rebuild all of those stories, and they're just not into doing that at all. They want stuff that's set up that you can bring them in, and they can go ahead and have beef with people and that kind of thing. And it's like Hit Row could have beef with, say, Ridge Holland, for example, because, you know, they rubbed elbows a little bit down in NXT for the 6 weeks that they were together. And you can invent beef other ways with other people. But yeah, I like this. I want to see Scott come in. I would love to see him kind of come in and, like, basically he's going to lose the North American Championship probably to Santos Escobar.
Probably on Tuesday.
Which we're all fine with. Everybody's cool with that. I would love for him to come in and take either is the IC title is on SmackDown.
Which is on Nakamura at the moment.
Yeah, I love Nakamura. I love Shinsuke. But get the IC title on Isaiah, because it works with him having a title. And go ahead and get him in that picture.
Yeah. New Day is no longer a group together. They lasted 2 weeks. They've been split apart again. I know we're all sad about it, but I think in Xavier Woods' heart of hearts, he's okay with it because he's on a brand that has the Usos and Cesaro and Ricochet, so he can film content for his Up Up Down Down channel again with people. So he's around some of his people now, mainly the Usos and Cesaro. So that's good, and it's good that, you know, New Day, they really want to make Big E a star on his own. That's the plan, and they can always bring New Day, as we've seen, back together, and they don't miss a beat. You know,
It's disappointing because they are so good together, but it's one of those defaults that they always go to, that it's like, in case of emergency, break glass, put the New Day back together. And like you said, they are trying to make Big E something. They are trying to make him into that next top star, which he absolutely deserves. They're also eyeing Xavier. They're also getting ready to push Xavier. The signs are there because it's like he's the last one. It's like they did Kofi. They're doing E. They're probably going to feature Xavier really, really heavy in King of the Ring. I don't know if he's going to win. I hope he does. Hashtag King Xavier. But, like, I know he's going to factor really, really heavily in that because he's all about it.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
And with New Day, as much as we all love them, it's kind of a now or never thing for at least Kofi and Woods, because they have been there a long ass time.
Over a decade.
They've
done everything.
They've done it. The only thing that Woods has not done is held a world championship and had his own music. He would like to have his own music at some point. But, like, I could see them with Xavier that they go ahead and it's, like, keeping him and Kofi apart. It's easy to have a duo drift apart than it is a trio. And the good thing about New Day is because it's always amicable, you can always have them come back together. You can always have them work together. You can always have Woods and Kofi go to Raw, or you can have E come to SmackDown, and you have that moment with the New Day. It's really easy to do. It's a good default. It's a good thing to have in your back pocket. But yeah, I think for Kofi and Woods and E, it's good that they're apart, because that temptation to always have them be together isn't fully there.
It would also hurt E in the long run.
Yeah. Because E has to prove that he can stand on his own.
So I'm looking at this roster and I go, there isn't a lot for Roman on this roster.
Gotta build it.
You gotta build it, but you got Drew's gonna be your focal point probably to challenge Roman here probably this fall. I think Kofi could be a name. They could rebuild Jeff Hardy and put him in the mix too against Roman.
Wouldn't that be Sheamus?
Yeah, you have Sheamus, but I he's a heel. Roman's a heel. I don't know how that works.
You can always turn Sheamus face. Like,
he could, but I don't know.
You have Shinsuke there. You really wanted to do it. You have Jinder. He's a past champion.
Oh, God, no. Don't even put
I'm
that.
I'm just
no.
throwing it out there.
No. You take that back.
Just throwing it
take
out
it back.
There.
Take it back. No one wants that.
I didn't say people wanted it. I'm just saying they can do it.
Don't put it in the universe.
You know, another interesting competitor, I'm just going to move on, Ridge Holland.
Yeah, I mean, they could...
You could build Ridge Holland up. You could build Isaiah Swerve Scott up to face Roman. Actually, Hit Row versus the Bloodline would be kind of interesting.
Could be okay.
Like, I would actually be really, really, really curious to see that. The only thing is the Bloodline would have to acquire a female, which would not be difficult for them to do.
I don't know if they could find one. Yeah. Right there.
I mean, if you...
The name's right there on my screen.
Yeah. If they wanted to spin her in, they absolutely could.
I mean, they could definitely. But then again, they have female. They got Paul Heyman.
He doesn't wrestle.
I mean, he can get beat up.
He can get beat up, but somebody has to be able to wrestle B-Fab.
I mean, you can figure it out. It's good to see Zaya got off the elevator.
They found her! They finally found her.
Having Charlotte and Sasha on the same show is a good move, which will lead to some interesting stuff.
Yeah, I'm really happy that they got Bianca away from Charlotte.
Mm-hmm. And Sasha, let her and Becky just roll on Raw. This opens up opportunities for Toni Storm and Shotzi to sort of grow on the brand. Also,
Shayna too.
Shayna as well. I was talking to people who haven't had like a push. So like Toni and Shotzi, kind of.
Oh yeah, totally. I mean, it's sad that they broke up, you know, Shotzi and,
Tegan.
Yeah.
But they have enough. There's enough women's talent on SmackDown with Leah and Zaya as well. So they have talent. All right, what?
They do indeed have talent.
What about Raw?
All right, so Monday Night Raw again, not effective till October 22nd. Following Crown Jewel, it reads as follows: AJ Styles, Akira Tozawa, Alexa Bliss. Very interesting she got drafted, seeing as she's technically out right now, so she's not going to be gone long. Angela Dawkins, Apollo Crews, Austin Theory, Becky Lynch, Bianca Belair, Big E, Bobby Lashley, Carmella, Cedric Alexander, Chad Gable, Commander Aziz, Damian Priest, Dana Brooke, girl, stay away from that red lipstick, Dolph Ziggler, Dominic Mysterio, Doudrop, Drake Maverick, Edge, Finn Balor, Gable Stevenson, Jackson Riker, John Morrison, Karrion Kross, Keith Bearcat Lee, Kevin Owens, Liv Morgan, Mia Yim, Montez Ford, MVP, not sure why he needed to be drafted, but okay, Nia Jax, Nikki Ash, Omos, Otis, R-Truth, Randy Orton, Reggie, Rey Mysterio, Rhea Ripley, Riddle, Robert Roode, Seth Rollins, Shelton Benjamin, T-Bar, Tamina, Tegan Nox, The Miz, Veer, and Zelina Vega.
Thank you, World Wrestling Entertainment, for giving us Becky Lynch, Bianca Belair, Seth Rollins, and Edge, and Finn Balor on Monday nights. Thank you for making our program that we watch every Monday night and have to talk about at 11 p.m. Eastern on Mondays. A lot more interesting and entertaining with the likes of Bianca Belair, Becky Lynch, Big E, Finn Balor, and Edge, and Seth Rollins. Thank you.
And Zelina.
Thank you, WWE, for providing us with talent to watch and get interested in. Thank you.
Yeah, this was a huge balance for Monday Night Raw. Basically because, unfortunately, a lot of people from Monday Night Raw got let go. And so there was a desperate need for especially the top end of the card, to be balanced on Raw. There just was not a lot going on towards the end, and it was really difficult to watch. So the fact that they have balanced the women's division, they have balanced the men's division, the fact that you have people at the top, in the middle, and the bottom, the fact that Raw overall has gotten a lot of really strong, good talent from SmackDown and vice versa, this is really going to, I feel like, help Monday Night Raw be interesting. Please, for the love of God, let it help. Because, man, it's hard some weeks. I'm sorry. It's just, we sit here and we try and we try and we try, but there are weeks where it's like, God, is this over yet? And that's not a shot at any of the talent. It's just, it's not interesting. I'm sorry.
It's not. But thank goodness Veer is on the show. He got removed from Shanky. Anyway, but no, it's good for the people like Zelina Vega and Liv Morgan to be on the show again, Carmella, so they continue that feud and they move it over here, and they're very entertaining individuals. This will give Liv a chance to kind of stand out, work with Bianca, work with Becky, and kind of get more over as she's been growing as a talent over the last few weeks and months. This gives Tegan a chance to finally be a star on her own. Hopefully they do stuff with her because she is very talented. I know, yet fragile, but talented.
Well, again, Tegan's one of those that it's a now or never kind of thing.
Yep, you gotta do it before the knee gets finally give out, and hopefully they never do. Because she wrestled on one without an ACL for a long time, and then they realized, oh wait, you don't have one. We kind of gotta need to fix that. So yeah, it's good. Raw's gonna be more interesting now with some talent on there, and the top of the card's more interesting. You give people for Big E to fight, and you have a who's who. Kevin Owens is on the show, who knows for how long, but he could be a challenge for him. Seth Rollins and Big E could be really good.
That will be entertaining.
That would be very entertaining. So it's like there's a lot of stuff to look forward to on Monday Night Raw going forward.
Well, what's nice is, like you're saying, there's a lot of challenges for E. You have Balor there. You can have Cross start to work his way up the card now, and because there's room for him to kind of slide in. There's room for Damian Priest to kind of come up the card and slide in there with E. Like, there's a lot of names on this list, established and new, that they're going to be able to work their way up and get to Big E. Just like there's a lot of women on the card now that can work their way up to get to Becky and Bianca. Like Rhea and Becky. Hello? Yes.
Yeah, there's good stuff going forward.
Becky versus Nikki Ash, can you imagine?
Yeah.
That will be entertaining as shit. So, like, you have a lot of potential here and a lot of balance here, and that's wonderful. I think that's the one thing that everybody wanted coming out of this draft, was that the rosters were going to be balanced again, because with the cuts and everything that had happened and people leaving and just all the things, the rosters were very, very unbalanced, and it was just very difficult. And I'm gonna say his name because I have to bring him up at least once a show. I'm sorry, Monday Night Raw losing Bray Wyatt, that was a huge blow, whether people want to admit it or not. He was one of the mainstays of Monday Night Raw, and they kept him off TV for 8 months, and then they fired him, and it was a huge blow to the show. And thankfully now they've balanced and they have names that can sort of fill that gap.
Yeah.
So, but you know, we love you, Bray, we miss you. Please come back to us in the form of a YouTube channel so I know how to find you.
In a form of a YouTube channel so you know how to find him.
If he goes to Impact, I don't know where Impact is.
Access.
I don't know if I have that channel.
I mean, you could say it into your remote control. You probably have it.
Not right now. Maybe later. And with that, I say we do NXT.
It's time for this week's edition of the NXT Rundown.
Things we learned on this show. It's very evident and clear. Mandy Rose is now going to be the next NXT Women's Champion, most likely. think we kind of figure that's going to be the thing coming up here soon.
They're kind of pushing that a little hard.
I'm happy for Mandy. I know you can't get behind the group, but I'm happy for Mandy because she's finally showing some real improvement down in NXT. She beat Ember Moon on this show. Mandy's doing well.
Oh, I think Mandy's finally found her character, because I think for a long time they had her doing like the sexy golden goddess, and that was kind of working for her, and it wasn't. And then she had a lot of success with Sonya Deville and that whole angle, and that kind of fizzled because the Otis thing took off, and then that fizzled out. And then once the Otis thing kind of dropped, Mandy really didn't have anything, and she was just sort of in mid-card hell for a really long time. So the fact that they've let her come back into NXT, and she's been allowed to invent herself in this new gimmick, in this new form, with the two girls beside her, I think is really good. And the fact that they're 100% behind her and they're pushing her is really good. Like, she's doing good work. I just don't feel the group. I just can't get into it, because it's just, to me, it comes off really fake.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you're trying to do some punk meets goth meets Mean Girls group, and it comes off very fake to me. And that's not a knock on any of the girls, it's just there's something about it that's really disingenuous, that it's just like there's something missing to it that doesn't take it over the edge for me. And also, it's just it is very clearly about Mandy. It is very clearly about Mandy's tits. The camera guys are obsessed with them.
I mean, yeah.
Like, the entrance is designed to basically shoot up and boom, there's her boobs right there. Like, I think it's more to gear towards the male focus than the female. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Mandy's character has always been like that. She's always been geared more towards the men than she has women.
Mm-hmm.
That's just how it is. But yeah, I mean, if they're going to push her to the top of the women's division, so be it. I think that's going to make it really interesting. It's time to get some new blood at the top of the division.
It is. There was a confrontation between Mandy and Toxic Attraction and Raquel, which had help with Zoe Stark and Io Shirai backing up Raquel after she was jumped. We're about to be jumped, so there's some stuff going on there. So we can see all the belts go into Toxic Attraction at some point.
Yeah, they're going to get hold of them. Because, I mean, as much as I like Raquel as well as she's done, her reign's just sort of been okay. Like, the stuff with Tegan was good, but it never really went anywhere. And then they didn't have anybody ready after Tegan. And so she's just sort of been...
Dakota, you mean?
Or I'm sorry, Dakota. And you, how could I forget Dakota? But it's like,
Hold on. Before you go on, remember, Dakota Kai was the one who turned on Tegan Nox back in the day.
Back in the day, yes. Back in the day, Dakota Kai. Well, Dakota just betrays in general, because, you know, she betrayed Tegan and then she betrayed Raquel because she wanted the title.
But I just want to make clear that Dakota turned on Tegan.
And it wasn't hypothetical.
It is available on Peacock and the WWE Network worldwide. You can see it happening. You can watch it in slow motion, too, if you really want.
Yeah, you can see the exact moment Tegan's heart breaks. Anyway, moving on. Back to my point, which was that Raquel's reign, it just has sort of been meh. And that's not a knock to her. That is a knock on the booking, the fact that they just didn't have anybody really ready to go for her. Like, I think they thought they were going to have Zoe Stark, and then that didn't happen. And so, because they started to have changes occur within NXT, and they were planning to start to do this rebrand. And so they're looking at, well, who are we going to have? What are we going to do? Yada, 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 yada. And so Raquel was just sort of there.
Yeah.
So I think if you're going to go ahead and you're going to move the title, move it on Mandy. Give it to Mandy. They very clearly got something with Toxic Attraction. That or they're going to go up. Like, if they've got them going and they've got them hot, they may not wait to put the title on her in NXT. They may just be like, you know what? Go up to the main roster, because that's really what they're there to do. They're not there to necessarily have long-term storytelling anymore. The very clear point is that we're going to have you down here. We're going to build you into something. We're going to get you hot. And then we're going to send you to the main roster. And they're going to take it from there. Because that's how this works.
You get 6 to 9 months. Build yourself up. You're going to either you sink or swim at this point.
It's like same thing with Bron Breakker. I do not expect Bron Breakker to be down there more than a year.
No.
I really don't.
If he's down there more than a year, the whole thing's more. He would be. He will be someone probably coming up. If not at the Royal Rumble, the night after WrestleMania.
Uh-huh.
That's it. If the course goes as projected with him.
Yeah.
So
they know what they've got there.
Right. He just has to, if he turns out to be what they think he's going to be, it'll work. So we learned that about Mandy Rose. She had a good match with Ember and everything with that and setting up the future move of Kel. Learn that.
Although I have to say this, ladies, I don't like this whole, and this is me again personally, I don't like the whole wearing the swimsuit under the shorts thing where it comes up and it shows your hips. I don't know if that's like just, I don't know why. It almost looks like women are trying to give themselves fake male hip bones. That's what it feels like. Like they're trying to give themselves like the fake male pelvic bones. That's what it looks like. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just, I can't get into that look. But also at the same time, if she didn't have the swimsuit on underneath the shorts, pretty sure we would have had some indecent exposure going on there.
So we learned that. We also learned they went through 2 packets. Did Indy and Dexter?
Look, they tried everything, okay?
And he's 9 and a half?
I mean, dude's packing.
They legit said these things on television. He was worn out. That's why he wasn't on TV. They went through 2 packets. And 9 and a half.
Well, it is supposed to be edgier and racier, so, you know, Indy talking about the fact that she rode him till he couldn't be ridden anymore. She rode him dry, basically, and wore him out. I mean, good on her.
Cora Jade was supposed to take on someone, and then Frankie Monet was like, nope, I'm fighting. Robert Stone's like, no, Frankie Monet's fighting. And then Coral Jade beat Frankie Monet.
Which was awkward.
Very awkward. The Robert Stone brand's not working out for Miss Frankie Monet.
No, no, it's not. We may see a split there.
The bad luck continues to follow.
Might be. It's a little weird, a little awkward.
L.A. Knight beat Odyssey Jones. You had Odyssey Jones. You had a distraction from Andre Chase. Odyssey Jones.
I like Andre Chase too.
Odyssey Jones is going to be something.
He's got it.
I don't know what he's going to be, but he'll be something.
He's got a big personality.
Yeah, you need a little bit more than that, but yeah, he's got something. Peter Dune got into it with Cameron Grimes, and they had a match.
Which I was kind of here for, honestly. I mean, I would never consider Cameron Grimes and Peter Dune having a match together, but I was like, okay, alright, I'll take it. And it was pretty decent. Like, it was actually pretty good. They're letting Cameron wrestle again. They're kind of backing off the character a little bit. They're having him do more wrestling, which is fine, which is good. Because I think in terms of the character, they've built it as far as they can take it. It's established. It's good to go. He's basically your rich asshole shirtless redneck friend. Like, that's who he is, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now we have to get him established in terms of being a credible wrestler. And then once he's established, I feel like he might be leaving us to go to greener pastures. But we'll see. Because, like, I don't know with him. What I didn't like is right after this, or not right after this, but soon after this, they showed something for Duke.
Hold on, before we get there. We got stuff to cover before we get there.
Okay.
So, Kyle O'Reilly showed up in this matchup going after Ridge Holland. Afterwards, he had to be saved by Big Dude. What's the Big Dude? Von Breaker?
Braun? No, that's Braun Breaker. Von Wagner!
Von Wagner, who cut a very boring promo backstage. It was very robotic. That wasn't very good. When he was talking to Kyle backstage, that was bad.
Yeah, that wasn't wonderful. But he's trying.
They're learning. They're trying. Yeah.
Give him some time.
So poker player.
I don't like this. I feel like it's like you already have one rich asshole. Do you need a second?
Yes.
I mean, they could become friends, and they could become a tag team, and that's a thing. Also, I didn't like Duke's little gold vest. I was not a fan of the vest. I don't know. This kind of took me back to a place to which I've not seen a lot of. But you know what this reminded me of is like a classic 80s, 90s character wrestler. And we keep saying they need to create characters, so there's nothing wrong with creating a character, but it's like... So he's a poker player and a wrestler?
I mean, he could be the Goon or Abe Knuckleball Schwartz.
I'm just saying, I don't see where it's going to go.
I don't see
a clear path for this
yet. Tony D'Angelo beat Malik Blade. Yay.
He was over.
Yeah.
And he was into this. Like, he was getting the crowd into it. He was riling them up. Like, he was feeling this. Like, he went out there and own the shit out of this. So good on him. Let's see where they go.
Oh, as what's it called? Indy was walking backstage. They ran into Tian Shaw locker room,
which was full of smoke.
And Boa doing anyway. Indy took on Mi Ying and beat her. It was something.
It was okay. We had a Mrs. Loomis chant. Something's going to happen to the ring. I'm just calling that right now. Like, something's going to happen to it because they made a big production of her taking it off and putting it on. So, at some point, the ring's probably going to get lost.
All right. Joe Gacy.
You motherfuckers. You. I'm so bitter.
Lindsay.
I'm so bitter. Lantern and a fucking rocking chair show up. So help me God, I'm going to have to get in the car and go to Florida.
Lindsay, you need to find your safe space.
Oh, I have my safe space. So, you had Joe Gacy backstage with the Bray Wyatt Dark Room Spotlight promo. And I'm sitting here, and I'm like, I see what they're doing here. I already see it. It's a fucking cult. It's a fucking cult, y'all. That's what they're going to do. It's a fucking cult. You want to know why? Because then you have Joe Gacy come out. Like, he's that sweet talking. He's basically the cleaned up version of Bray Wyatt. That's not Southern. He has the beard. He has the pretty blue eyes. He has the nice cleaned up hair and appearance, right? Dressed in all black. Goes out there. Wrestles a match. Match is fine. He GGs his opponent where they shake hands and hugs, right? Because he's like, good game. Good match, guy. Good match. And then he walks away. And as he's walking away, somebody stands up. A freshly shorn Parker Boudreaux stands up, and he and Gacy connect. And what was Parker Boudreaux's name?
Harlan. I think.
Or something like that. It was very close to, I don't know, Harper? Y'all can't see me right now, but I'm looking at the camera like it's The Office. There's nothing wrong with this. I'm glad they're doing something with it other than just Joe Gacy going out there and spewing rhetoric. But you bastards.
He beat Eichmann Jr. on the show, by the way.
I don't know how this was a weird match in general because it's like you had Eichmann wrestling in the blazer and then you had Joe Gacy in dress pants and I'm just not sure how that happened. And he had like a button down shirt. Like, I don't even know how his shirt stayed on. Is there like wrestling formal wear? Is that a thing?
Probably.
But, like, the match itself was fine, it was good, but, like, you can see where they're going with Gacy. He's setting up a cult-like following, and he's going to have his loyal supporters with him. And I'm not saying it's going to be the Wyatt family, because absolutely nobody could do the Wyatt family like Bray Wyatt can, but the dissection of Bray Wyatt continues, because Finn got the red lighting, Alexa got the fiend, somebody's gotta get the cult, and hey, guess what? Looks like it's gonna be Joe Gacy.
Ciampa called out Bron Breakker. They set up a match for Halloween Havoc. Later in the show, Joe Gacy wants title match. So if he can beat Ciampa, he'll be added to the match.
And I bet he does with the help of Mr. Boudreaux.
Possibly. We'll have to see. Then what was your main event? It was an elimination tag team match for the NXT tag team titles featuring MSK, Briggs and Jensen, Gibson and Drake, a.k.a. the Grizzled Young Veterans, and Kamaral Hayes and Trick Williams. MSK would come out on top with their titles.
But fake AMW held their own, and they're coming for MSK.
We also saw the return of Imperium. They won belts, too.
They're heating up the tag division, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks like they're heating up the women's division, they're heating up the tag division, they're heating up the main title division. The only one they're not heating up is the North American, because I think it's all pretty much established that Santos Escobar is probably going to get that title, and then they will create challengers for him from there. But yeah, I like the direction that they're going in, where things are becoming interesting. I don't know if I can get behind some of the characters, just because I'm just not feeling it.
Here's a quick breakdown. We've been throwing out a lot of people. Some will stick, some won't. They're going to try stuff like the poker gimmick and Joe Gacy. Everything's going to be a thing, and we'll see how they go. It's like old ECW and WWE. It's like old NXT before it became NXT. You see what people got? See the potential. They've thrown a lot at us. They've made a brand new territory. It's going to be weird for a while.
It's sink or swim time.
And if you motherfuckers out there want to complain that WWE is trying things and you're not supporting it when all you do is beg for something new, then you have only to yourselves to blame for things. You know, like, they're out here trying things. And whether it works or it doesn't, They're at least out there. Please support it. Don't be one of them on Twitter. Oh, look how bad they're doing. Yada yada in the ratings. No one's watching the show. Yeah, because all you complain about is to complain that they're not making anybody. Now they threw 15 new people at you. You don't want to watch it? It's only on you. Don't come at me in 6 months going, oh my god, I wish I saw this person in action. Watch them now.
Yeah, it's everybody wanted NXT to change. They gave you change. Everybody wants characters. Everybody wants interesting things. That's what they're trying to do. That's how things become things. Is people watch it. People get interested. It spreads by word of mouth. Other people get interested. And eventually a following develops and an interest develops in a person or a product. So they basically took NXT because essentially what happened is they got their litmus test, right? Like, it performed very well, but it could not top AEW because AEW rolled in with a fresh product. And when you compare AEW doing, you know, 5,000-6,000 seat arenas to Full Sail, it's not going to measure up. So what did they do? They said, okay, all right, we're going to revamp it. We're going to reinvent it. We're going to make it a new product again, and we're going to go from there. We are going to turn it back into the developmental brand as it should be, because that's what it was always supposed to be. But they created their own worst enemy in NXT. They created their own competition in the company with NXT. And now it's, no, we're done with that. Now we're going to put it back to the way that we want it. We'll see if it works.
All right. Before we can move on, anyone who's watching the game, is that Geno Smith in the game?
I don't know. I can't tell.
Chat?
Maybe? Well, Russell Wilson fucked up his finger.
Yeah, no, that's Geno Smith. Geno Smith is in the game.
Hey, go Geo!
Okay. Anyway, break.
Break. So when we come back, it's time. We are going to try and escape the Undertaker. We're going to be talking all about it. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
What is the greatest of all time? Saturday nights. We decide from sports, video games, movies, and even the X-rated. You help us decide what is the greatest of all time. It is the Greater Than Great Debate, a part of your Saturday night
event.
CB Radio, Saturday night, midnight to Houston. On the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Mondays. Once Monday Night Raw ends, join us for the Monday Night Raw post show.
Today I have something super serious to talk to you about.
Join us as we break down all the highs, the lows, and all the holy f- moments that go down every single Monday night.
Exercise!
It's the Raw post show, Monday nights 11 p.m. Eastern.
Do I have your attention now?
Streaming live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Like what you hear? Subscribe to The Rack on Apple Podcasts. Just search for The Rack Radio Show. And while you're there, leave us a review and tell us your thoughts on your favorite show on a Thursday night.
Did you know you can use support a creator code Rock and Sock in the Fortnite item shop? That's R-O-C-K-N-S-O-C-K in the Fortnite item shop.
You can look, but you can't touch. You keep dreaming on the stars above.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki. And we're the Bell Twins. And you're listening to the Rap Radio Show.
Something in your eyes lets me see right through you.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, well, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen, and you can subscribe for free or the regular way. It is that simple. You can also follow the channel there, or you can hang out and chat or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
So in a rather unfortunate turn of events this week, Twitch kind of got hacked. Supposedly hacked up. Some people think it was an inside job. And the top, I'm going to say 100 to 200 streamers for
more,
the past.
More than that, but yeah.
More than that. Pretty much everybody's earnings for Twitch for the past 2 years got released, but the top 100 got published. And so you pretty much got to see what your favorite streamer had been making for the past 2 years on Twitch, not including donations.
Or bits, or sponsorships, or et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, just pretty much base Twitch pay, and I don't think it included the contracts either.
Nope, just subs.
It was just strictly what they had made over 2 years on subs. And it was enlightening, to say the least, to see how much money people had actually made on Twitch. And some people took it in stride. Other people took it in, like, they were mad, obviously, because, you know, private financial information got put out there. And basically, a lot of shit got exposed from the Twitch hack. So if you happen to have a Twitch channel, you're probably going to want to update your stream key. They're notifying everybody that you need to change it. You may want to update that and your password just as a precaution.
Get 2FA.
Yeah, get 2FA. All of that just to protect your account and make sure that it's okay, because a lot of data got released in this breach. It's actually horrifying because this is an Amazon thing, and Amazon is known for being incredibly secure. So the fact that a Amazon product got hacked, it's absolutely terrifying.
Which leads more to it being an inside job.
Yeah, which is why people think it's inside, because it's like, if anything were to happen to the Amazon servers in terms of how many companies would be impacted if Amazon got shut down, it could shut down the world. I'm not kidding about that, because a lot of companies run their shit either through the Amazon cloud servers or they run them through the Google cloud servers. So if anything ever happened to Google or Amazon, we would have serious problems.
Bigger than the Facebook downtime.
That was just funny.
Anyway, tweets.
So, Hassanabi. Bro, come on! And it's a picture of him trending with the Twitch leak on Twitter the day that it happened. Dr. Lupo responds, "Where's my house?" Angry face. In ZXT, "You have three computers, though, Dr. Lupo. Each one deserves its own house." I mean, he's not wrong.
Not wrong.
And that's all I have.
Then I'll follow it up with Trevor May. You know who Trevor May is, right? Everyone knows who Trevor May is, right?
Trevor May!
Twitch incomes got leaked? Man, that sucks. He's a baseball player. His income's out there all the time.
Yeah.
Damn.
Like I said, some people took it in complete stride. Like, some people were just like, oh okay. All right.
Don't do me creative and Raw got Gable Steveson. His parents are happy until we reveal that real Kurt Angle is his dad. # WWE Raw. Let's see. Where are we? Ryan Wyatt. Me, Susan, please look at the top Warzone streamers we have, the YouTube guy. Let me open up the stream to show you him gaming live right now. Opens Tim the Tapman stream. And it's a picture of him eating. Whips, listen, Ryan, he has to stay fluffy. It's part of his branding. Not a lie.
Not a lie.
So you mentioned the Twitch leaks, right? Twitch put out a statement. KFC Gaming, you guys must be tweeting from this, and it's a picture of Internet Explorer.
Oh, dear.
Candace LeRae. Me. The baby can hear now, so we should start playing music for him. Johnny Gargano reaching over with his phone playing music. Let the bodies hit the floor. 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 And then there's video of him doing said action, and her face is like, really? You're using both phones to do this? Really? And she's trying not to laugh. It was amazing. So everyone saw Sunday Night Football, right?
Yeah, we did.
Tom Brady.
It's so exciting.
Tom Brady and Bill Belichick had a quick hug at midfield. When your mom makes you hug that kid, you can't stand. DJ Dunson. Bill Belichick greets a cute quarterback he coached from his 20s through his mid-40s like a hug. The distant relative who tells me how much of a munchkin I was last we saw each other. And Katie Nolan. That was the kind of hug you give at the end of a first date when there won't be a second.
I mean, not a lie.
And that's Tweet of the Week.
Apparently they did meet in private afterwards. So, you know, Bill's a more, you know, not in front of the cameras kind of guy. He's very much, good God, Norton, turn off your spyware. I literally just got an email from Norton. Data breach notification. Twitch.
Anyway,
that's terrifying.
Yeah, it is. Anyway, that was Tweet of the Week. And now it's time for Lindsay to break down Escape the Undertaker.
So, if you've listened to the show on the regular, you know all about this. If you don't listen to the show on the regular, you may not know all about this. So, let me explain to you all what this is if you're not familiar with this. Essentially, WWE came to a deal with Netflix where they were going to produce, WWE and Netflix, together in cooperation, were going to produce content together. And a lot of people assumed that it was going to be like documentaries and like specials and things like that, strictly around the wrestling product. Absolutely nobody saw a Choose Your Own Adventure film featuring The New Day and The Undertaker coming anywhere. Like, none of us saw this coming. It just happened. Like, one day somebody just dropped pictures that this bitch had been made. And we were all sitting here aghast and delighted on the internet because it's like, oh my God, this looks like it's going to be fantastic. And it was.
Okay, I'm going to interrupt you for now. From this point forward, you all have been warned.
Spoiler alert!
Once again, you've been warned.
Spoiler alert!
And go.
There's going to be heavy spoilers in this. So, before I talk about the film, if you are a ultra serious wrestling fan or you are an ultra serious horror fan and you are expecting this to be a really serious either one, you're going to be really disappointed. If you are a hardcore Undertaker fan, you are probably going to love the ever living shit out of this. I personally enjoyed this immensely. To the point that I went back and tried to get every ending I could possibly get just to see them all. And went back and watched it just to see every option and where it took you and what it did and get the story from it.
We spent, the first night it came out, we spent an hour going through a 30-minute episode. We spent an hour on it.
Just to see all the options.
We put them through stuff.
We were not kind to the New Day, sorry guys. But I wanted Taker to win. Any kind of one. That's the one, and that is my one complaint, unless there is a way to do it, and we just haven't figured it out yet, is the Undertaker cannot actually technically, like, win, and it ends. Basically, if the Undertaker wins, it makes you go back, and it makes you make different choices, because he's not supposed to win. The New Day is supposed to win. They are supposed to technically escape the Undertaker, so that is the biggest spoiler, is technically New Day is supposed to win. However, you can have Taker defeat them. It just makes you go back and do it again. There are a lot of Easter eggs in this, which I like. You had an Isaac Yankum reference. Paul Bearer was featured heavily in this.
So the Isaac Yankum reference. It was in a morgue, and it was a foot tag on a body.
Isaac Yankum from Athens, Georgia, who died in 2018. Still remarkably fleshy for being, you know, dead for, what, 3 years?
Yeah.
You know, still in relative good shape. He died of unnatural causes. He's laying on a table in the Undertaker's morgue that he has in his basement because, of course, the Undertaker has his own private morgue in his basement, which we would all expect him to. So, the one thing that I can really appreciate about this, and I'm trying to, like, I'm following notes that I took because I did actually take notes on this without giving too much away. I really, really appreciate how they presented Taker in this, because they presented him as the extra you-know-what that we all have come to know and love, where he's just extra and dramatic and just all the things, and we got to see all of it here. This man, at his house, which is very nice, gonna get into the house here in a minute, but this man tools around his house in a full, I mean full, leather getup, coat, shirt, vest thing, with long sleeves, leather gloves, leather pants, shoes. He walks around his house like this, which I respect, right? I mean, we're 2 years into a pandemic, almost 2 years into a pandemic, and he's just tooling around in all leather, mainly because he can.
It's who he is.
It's who he is. I mean, Taker, I mean, I don't want to say that, but, you know, I think certain things got confirmed. Like, basically every kinky thing that I think I've ever thought about The Undertaker pretty much got confirmed in this. Why? Because he has basically a Harry Potter style room of requirement somewhere in his house that he tortures people in. Because he tortured the New Day in this. So, you know, it's he has specific rooms in his house for specific things that he likes to do. And he's just off enjoying his retirement doing them. The other thing that I really liked in the presentation of the character, because I feel like it had gotten lost somewhat in the last, I'm going to say 5-ish years of his career, was how intelligent The Undertaker actually is. And they actually demonstrated that he's incredibly tech savvy. I don't think anybody saw that coming.
I mean, he's not using the most modern of technology.
He's not, well, I mean, he has a ring.
Okay, but beyond that, he's not using the most, you know, modern technology in his streaming room.
Fair. I mean, he does have some flat screens, but yeah, no, he has like this. Basically, when home automation became a thing, The Undertaker got on board on that. Hardcore parkour. Like, this man has cameras all over his house. In his house. Outside of his house. He has, like, basically buttons that he can push that can, like, unlock and lock his front door. Like, you know, basically Ring and Simply Safe probably love him. Because he bought all the things. And Nest bought all the things from them. Because he was all about it. Like, just, there are cameras everywhere. And he can spy all over his house. And that's pretty much where he is for the majority of the movie, is he's up in his little stream room, which, by the way, if he ever wants to do like a Twitch or a YouTube stream, the man's got the setup for it. Like, he's got 50 monitors. He would be fine. But he sits up in his stream room and he basically watches the New Day go through the house and he torments them. But this opens with the Undertaker basically asking you, are you ready to try and wield his urn? Because the whole point of the movie is to get the urn.
So the New Day want to take the, get the urn to combine Undertaker's power with the power of positivity.
Which I don't know why you would ever want to combine those two things, but okay, all right, fair enough. And so they roll up to the Undertaker's house, and Xavier is a smart one, because Xavier's like about none of this. They come in the middle of the night, and he's like, why don't we come back in the morning when it's like daytime, because I don't think he's here. I don't think he's home. And they're like, no, he's here. He's home. Look, he's got the fire outside because he's got torches. He's in this big, beautiful mansion on this private piece of property. You know, it's nice. It's beautiful. It's quiet. And you can tell it's his house because there is a giant Undertaker symbol above the front door. Could he just not be any more extra?
Nope.
I mean,
that's who he is.
That's who he is. He's just super extra. But, you know, basically Taker's gonna turn him away because they do the ring and they're introducing themselves. They're like, hey, Taker, we're sure you remember us. But, you know, just for the audience that may not know who they are, they introduce themselves. And of course, Taker has Peacock on demand and he's watching old New Day clips of everybody. So, you know, you get to see who they are in the ring. Which was a nice little touch.
Voiced over by
Michael Cole and Pat McAfee.
Pat McAfee, Michael, yeah.
Which was, again, good. And then, you know, they're going to get turned away. Taker's like, nah, I don't want any of this. I don't want to deal with this. And all of a sudden, the urn reacts. And Taker's like, huh? Huh? And he lets them in his house. Because the urn likes to do nothing more than consume the souls of the good. And, well, Xavier and Kofi and Big E, they're good guys. They're good people. So, of course, you know, the urn wants to consume their souls. So we come in the house and you have choices throughout this film. and you split up, and you can go into, you can follow Big E, you can follow Kofi, or you can follow Xavier. And each choice shows you different parts of the house. So you see the room, like where the urn is and where Taker's throne is. And they have a lot of like props. Like he has, I guess, his formal wear hanging on like a butler thing in one of the corners where it's like a hat and a coat. He's got all of his title belts in there, which is like nice, including the custom Undertaker title that WWE made. They got that in there. And just all of that. We get to go find the morgue with Xavier. And then we get to follow Kofi, who he finds a creepy painting that whispers to him. And along the way, we see symbols throughout the house that line up to where the urn is. And then everything goes to hell because somebody's soul gets taken. I'm trying not to like spoil who it is, but like somebody's soul gets taken, and now it's the race against time to save that person's soul before the urn eats it forever. And Taker torments everybody, all three members, because now he's got someone's soul. And it's basically the ritual has begun, and the soul drips in an hourglass, and that person becomes more and more affected as their soul slowly drips away and is consumed by the urn. And so we see them have dizzy spells, and we see them get impacted, and we see them throw up green or purple slime, which was nasty.
Yeah.
And what we have to do is we have to go through Taker's house and find the key to unlock the urn because it's locked into this device. And so you follow the New Day to find this key, and along the way, you also have to find things to potentially defeat the Undertaker. And you have to make those choices along the way, which I liked. I liked that you could make the choices. I like how you could see different parts of the story, and you could go back and you could change your choices, and you could see how that would impact the whole thing.
Yeah.
And Taker's whole purpose is that he's trying to, one, take somebody's soul, and two, turn the New Day against each other so basically he can defeat the New Day and claim them for the darkness. So after you go through the whole finding the keys and everything like that part, you know, they're saying, you know, they're there with the urn, and they're like, okay, we're going to take the urn. And Taker's like, well, you can take it, but it's going to make you face your fears. It's going to make you face your darkest fears. And they're like, okay. And they tap the urn, and the urn takes them away.
Yeah. Before we get there, I want to bring up something. One of the moments, so they're searching for the key, right? One of the things that splits off is Kofi splits off on his own, and he finds the streaming setup. Okay?
Yeah.
So as he finds the streaming setup, Mr. Undertaker, Sir Man, walks in with his ham sandwich.
We think it was ham. There's nothing on it. And Kofi's like, oh shit. And Taker's like, the fuck are you doing in here? You're not supposed to be in here. And then he just proceeds to knock Kofi out.
Yeah, but he walks in there. Like, nothing's going on. The New Day's not running through his house. He just walks in there casually with his ham sandwich or meat sandwich.
Yeah, it was a meat sandwich. We're not sure what it was, but it didn't have any vegetables or anything on it, which, again, I respect. It's white bread with, like, some kind of meat. But where I had to laugh at that is he sits down and he checks it before he eats it to make sure it's right, which tells me that there's somebody else in the house with him. And there's someone in the kitchen making his sandwich because he checked to make sure that it was made correctly.
Was it made correctly or the meat was still fresh?
I don't know.
Because I think it was more not someone made it for him. I think they make sure the meat was still fresh. And whether it was human meat or not, I don't know.
I don't want to think the Undertaker's a cannibal. I don't want to go that far with this. Like, I just don't want... I thought about it for a split second. And it's like, no, I think that's ham. We're going to go with that's ham.
See, the reason why I don't think it was ham, it was a little too red for ham.
But you could fry it.
I mean, but it didn't look fried.
It did if you slow it down and you look at it. It kind of looked like Taylor pork roll.
Maybe.
It had been fried.
Anyway, either way, it was a funny moment. In the thing.
Yeah, it's like he, in the middle of all of this, Taker's like, oh, I'm kind of hungry. I'm going to go make myself a sandwich. And he gets up and he walks out. And he goes and he gets himself a sandwich and he comes back and there's Kofi. And it's like, ah, oh, crap.
So, anyway, so you mentioned they have to each face their fears. And one gets weirder after the other. Big E's was the creepiest of them all.
Yeah, like, Xavier's was getting buried alive. Kofi's was the most psychological, because Kofi was the doubters, basically saying, you don't deserve this, you don't belong here, you know, it was all mental for Kofi. And people saying he couldn't do it, he shouldn't do it. And they cut back to, like, Vince telling him that he would never be champion and all this other stuff. So that was really interesting that they did that with Kofi. And then they did E, And I have all the respect in the world for Eat for doing this, because they had his head in a box with spiders. And they had, like, tarantulas crawling around in the box.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it was creepy.
And one crawled across his face. And it was like, oh god, no. No, no. No, no. But the best part of that was, like, Biggie's sitting there and his head's in the box and he's freaking out. And Taker walks up behind him, right? And just takes his finger and he goes, tap, tap, tap. Right on the top of the box.
So
he's like, I hear you don't like spiders.
Mm-hmm. So all these three scenarios are that you can choose from. You either can stay positive or join The Undertaker. So you will then get three scenarios where one of the members of New Day could possibly join The Undertaker, and you go from there.
And then you come to the ending, which is the final battle between The Undertaker and The New Day. And
I'm just going to say this. Magical lightning powers.
No, I wasn't even going to go there yet.
He has magical lightning powers.
I wasn't going to go there with it yet, but the bitch can fly.
I wasn't even talking about the flying. I was just the punches, and you see all the electrocution and everything like that.
Yeah, he basically, you got to see the Undertaker magics in full force in this.
Yeah.
Because he, like, is using his magic and everything to hit them and push them back. And then at one point, during the final confrontation, he starts to levitate, and then he has, like, Emperor Palpatine-level lightning. Like, it legit looks something out of Star Wars, where he's just standing there with his hands, and he's shooting lightning at the New Day, and he basically renders them unconscious.
But just staying on him going up on that thing, that had been so uncomfortable.
Yeah, you could kind of see it on his face, where he's like, when they put him down, he's like, oh, thank you. God.
And it was a slow come down too. You could just see it was like they couldn't even edit the slowness of him bringing him slowly down.
Like that could not have felt good on his hips at all. Because I know he has the one fake hip, but like that the other one, I don't know if he's had it replaced yet or not. But that could not have felt good on him at all. But we have to talk about the elephant in the room, which was the hair situation. It's unfortunate. Like, for 90% of the film, or the show, or whatever you want to call it, his hair is braided, and it's up. It's like, his head is covered by the hat, but you can see that his head is very clearly shaved all the way around, and all of his hair is right on top of his head. And that's all the hair he has. I feel like if y'all were going to put hair extensions on him, which they did, there's nothing wrong that they did that. I feel like if you're going to put hair extensions on him, or you were going to do stuff to his hair, you should have maybe had him like fill it in a little bit more on the sides, just because from the back, it didn't look right. And then it's like the hat came off and he's got this long, and I don't know if it was intentional or like what it was, but like they did nothing to help his hairline, like nothing to fix his hairline at all. And having it shaved on the sides and the back didn't help his hairline one bit. And then he's got this like long string sort of like frizzed out black hair that's like half his, half extension, and it looks like it hasn't been conditioned in about 4 years, which again could have all been intentional. It just was not a good look on him, and it aged him really badly. Like, I think that was the one complaint about the ending, was it just made it did not do favors for him at all. Like, the least you could have done was put a wig on him. Just saying. And I hate saying that. Like, I really do, because I love the man. But it's like, it was really distracting. The hair situation. Because he's got this thin little, like, rat tail braid the whole movie. And you're just like, oh. Because if you know The Undertaker, he used to have this, like, really beautiful hair. And it's just over time, he's just lost it, right? Because that's what happens to all of us as we age and things go away. And especially for men, they tend to go bald. So that's what's going on with Taker, especially because he has dyed his hair for the better part of 30 years. And he's just burned out his hair. Like, that's what happened to him. And because he was just repeatedly dyeing it, eventually it just burned out and it fell out. Because that's what, if you over dye your hair, that's what can happen. That's why you have to be really careful about dyeing it. And this is where he wouldn't know that, because, you know, he probably never looked into that. Because he probably didn't have it professionally done. He probably did it himself. It's like, when you dye your hair, you have to make sure that you condition it the right way if you're going to continue to dye it, in order to keep it healthy. Because otherwise, it will burn out and it will fall out and you won't get it back. And that's kind of what happened with Taker here, is his hair just was over dyed and just it is what it is, right? Like, his hair is what it is at this point. And I don't know if, like, his hair on the sides doesn't grow back, or if
I think it's a look.
I think it's a look because it was really freshly shaved, like it was done that day.
I think that's his look now. It just doesn't work for film. But he's not on film often, so it doesn't matter.
But, you know, it was a little, it's not a good look. I'm just going to say, it's not a good look.
But anyway, back to the film.
I feel like he could cut it up to his, like, shoulders, and it might be better. But just, it was just a long hair going down his back. Because for me, I'm sitting here, and I'm like, oh, honey, your hair hasn't been that long in, like, 20 years. Like, there's just no way. Unless it's like everybody else and his hair has grown out that much, but it's like just the hair going down the back and you see the stringiness of it. It took me out of the moment for a second. That's what it did, because it's like the whole film, you have to suspend your disbelief or your belief a lot. Like you have to just basically acknowledge that this is Scooby-Doo meets Saw. It's going to be campy. It's going to be stupid. It's going to be a lot of things. It's not serious. It's not a horror film. It is what it is. And if you just let all of that go, you will enjoy the shit out of this, because it's just the Undertaker and the New Day running around being the Undertaker and the New Day.
So the best part of the film is the ending of the film.
Oh my God.
Okay. Because we preface that the New Day wins. There's no way to get the Undertaker to win, right?
You can kind of have him win, but it sends you back.
You can't. The Undertaker does a slow clap at the end of this film. Bravo, you beat me. Clap, clap, clap.
On the throne, in the full getup.
It's the best part of the film.
I need it as a reaction gif. I really, really do. Like, I need it as a reaction gif. Just the Undertaker sitting there giving you that pissed off, annoyed look. And he's clapping. Slow mm-hmm. clapping. Like, well done. You actually beat me. Because he does talk to you, in quotations, throughout the film. And he kind of taunts you along with the New Day throughout the film. Because the preface is that there's a fourth wall, but you are the fourth wall. So you are involved. You are there with the New Day, but you don't suffer the same thing that New Day does, but you're there and present in the moment. And there's an acknowledgement by the Undertaker that you are in the moment with them, all of them. And it's kind of, it's neat how they do it. But yeah, this was a hell of a lot of fun. I really enjoyed this. It was a lot better than I thought it was going to be.
Same. It was a lot better than I thought it was going to be.
I thought the production value was really, really good on it. I love the set. I would have loved to have seen more of the house. Like, this is me, is like, I kind of would love to see, like, stuff like this, more stuff featuring the Undertaker, stuff like this, just because I'm really curious. Because now, for the first time in 30 years, we've seen the Undertaker's house in some form or another. And as a fan, your mind tends to wander to that of, how does this man live? What does he do in his off time? Well, now we know. He torments people, as to be expected, because it's the Undertaker. But I would really love to see more things done. Maybe not a choose-your-own-adventure, maybe not, like, tormenting people, but, like, I think an Undertaker movie or an Undertaker series could be really cool. I don't think he's interested in it, because, like, I know for this, they brought him, like, a lot of lore. Like, they basically filled a lot of gaps on this, and they presented a lot of things to him. And they fit, like, and when I say they, I mean the director and the writers, filled a lot of the gaps in this. Because there is a lot of new lore in this, specifically around the urn and what it is and how it functions. And they basically imply that the urn and the Undertaker himself are a lot older than what we think they are. Now, the question with that is the Undertaker, as we see him in present form, older than we think he is, or is the persona something that can pass from one person to another when the physical vessel of the Undertaker passes on?
I don't think it passes on.
I don't think it passes on, but it's kind of, it goes back to something else from years and years and years ago that I read one time, where it was, I'm going to admit it, it was a fan fiction series that was done by the official Undertaker fan club. Yes, I am that person. Get over it. And basically they imply that that's exactly what happened, is that the Undertaker persona, more or less, passed from one vessel to another. So it passed from one person to another from the time of the inception all the way up to present day, which is kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm. So the Easter egg at the ending is this. Spoilers. Directed by the Undertaker, written by the Undertaker, produced by the Undertaker. Executive producer, The Undertaker. Let's see. Go back to it. Yeah. Executive producer of The Undertaker, director of photography of The Undertaker, production designer of The Undertaker, editor of The Undertaker, associate producer of The Undertaker, costume designer, music by The Undertaker, and underworld production, unit production manager of The Undertaker, first assistant director of The Undertaker, second assistant director of The Undertaker, cast The Undertaker as himself, stunt coordinator, The Undertaker, fight coordinator of The Undertaker, music orchestrated and conducted by The Undertaker, second unit director of The Undertaker. As himself, visual effects supervisor of The Undertaker, soundtrack album available on The Undertaker record. Special thanks to The Undertaker and Paul Bearer's Mortuary and Fine Urns.
I like that. Paul Bearer's Mortuary and Fine Urns. Like, overall, this was really good. It's a really fun time. Is it something that I'm going to go back and watch again and again and again? Probably not. But it was a nice thing for Halloween. It was a really nice surprise. And like I said, I would love to see more Undertaker stuff done like this through Netflix, because I think there's a lot there that they could explore. But I wouldn't mind seeing other things like this with other WWE talent. Again, this is something that would be right up Bray Wyatt's alley. But you fired him, dicks. But yeah, I think this was a really good introduction. I hope it was successful. I hope everybody was really happy with it. I think New Day did a really good job. I think Taker did a really good job. I mean, not that Taker really, well, I shouldn't say that. He had to do a lot, but like, he had to do a lot at the end.
It was very physical at the end.
It was very physical at the end, but like, basically the New Day had to do a lot in this, where they had to do a lot of like serious and not serious acting, and they really showed their chops in this, which was nice to see. Taker showed his chops in this, which was nice to see. But yeah, I like this. I really did. I can't say enough good things about it. I think my only complaint is that there isn't a way to have The Undertaker win fully.
But that's not the premise of the film.
That's not the premise of the film, but I feel like that should be an option of the film. Is that if you want The Undertaker to win fully, you should be allowed to let him win fully. Like, I think that should be a thing, that he wins and he succeeds and he gets Big E's, I spoiled it, Big E's soul.
You made it 40 minutes.
I tried so hard. Anyway, that he gets Big E's soul and he wins, right? And I think I heard there was a way to do it, but I don't know if there's actually a way to do it, because I did try. And, like, there's a point that if you make specific options, it will put you in a loop, because you have to make a certain level of choices to get to the ending. So if you don't make the right choices to get to the ending that it wants you to get to, it will just put you in this loop until you make the choice that you have to make to get it out of the loop, or you restart it. So that's the one thing about it, is it is predetermined of where you have to go. But it does give you opportunities to go back. Like, for the Kofi sandwich thing, it's like, okay, you've made it this far, but you weren't supposed to get here, so you got to go back and you got to do it again. And he sends you back to do it again, and make the choice again. So it's that kind of thing. So it's not fully, like, fleshed out, basically, but it's fleshed out enough that it works. And you can get a semi-satisfying ending with The Undertaker winning. Or you can get the satisfying winning, like, for me it was satisfying, but you can get the fully satisfying happy ending of the New Day getting away. The only thing that I wish that kind of would have happened at either ending is you have Kane walk in with, like, breakfast or something, and there's the ending of The Undertaker defeated, and he's like, what the shit? That would have been me.
That's a you ending for sure.
That's a me ending for sure, just because it's just to have that reaction of Kane rolls up with, like, coffee, and just for them to have breakfast together. And it's like, what did you do? One night, I leave you alone for one night and this happens. But that's me. But yeah, Netflix deserves to be congratulated. WWE deserves to be congratulated. Everybody involved deserves to be congratulated, because this was really well done. I just kind of wish we would have gotten to see a little bit more of the house, because you can tell that they shot it. They shot it in a really big mansion,
mm-hmm.
and studios. But for, like, the upstairs and in the house or in the basement and in the main parts of the house, that isn't actually this mansion that you can see, because you can see the set and everything through the windows, the front windows. So I would have liked to have seen more of the house. Like, I think that's my one thing, is I wish it was longer, and I kind of wish it was an actual film as opposed to a pick-your-own-adventure, just to have that full story. Because that is the one thing that it's like, depending on what choice you make, you do miss parts, and it does skip, and you do miss things. So you kind of do have to go back and do it a couple times just to see everything, to get the full story of what's going on here.
But that was Escape the Undertaker.
Go watch it. If you're just like, turn your brain off, go watch it. It's really entertaining. It's safe to watch with your kids, which was like the biggest thing that I saw, was like people were tweeting about how they were watching it with their kids and they were having a blast and they were enjoying the heck out of it. And that's what you want to see. So it's a family friendly activity. There's not a lot of scary stuff in it. Like, it's perfectly fine for kids. Like, the worst part of it is probably like the Biggie Xavier stuff. That might be a little scary for them, but everything else is like completely fine. Like, there's no blood, there's no zombies, there's no anything like that. There's just like a morgue that's really filthy that he should have cleaned, like sterilized. But that's it. I think that does it for us. What do you think?
I believe that is it for us tonight. Saturday night, midnight edition, another edition of Super Radio, SuperLive.com, GrandTheGreatDebate.com, the WTR Fantasy Season 5 AEW edition is this week. Tune in. See what happens. We have things planned. Sunday night, WTR Sunday night, Russell Talk Radio returns 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll break down the draft. The look ahead to the future in WWE, you know, that big event next year. We're going to talk about that. And finish out some more of the all-time greatest. It's Wrestle Talk Radio, Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. Monday night's Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, for another edition of the Rack. It's Rack Radio Show on all social media platforms, whether that's Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. You can get us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Amazon Music, or Google Podcasts. Just search the Rack Radio Show. It's twitter.com/WildTalkRadio, facebook.com/WildTalkRadio. If you have Amazon Prime, like your Twitch account, it's called Prime Gaming. And you can support the channel by clicking that purple rectangle button below the screen. You can also use creator code ROCKETSOCK or
Linz M. Ward
in the Fortnite item shop or Epic Game Store. Why?
Because we are hashtag Epic Partners. And you can follow me on most of the social medias at Linz Ward, LNSWRD. Don't forget to check out our very fine sponsor, MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will see you next week. Till then, bye!
WildTalkRadio.com.